right now on VFN TV. Remember, VFN KB Success Secrets is going to bless you. It has to do with CEOs sharing about the secrets to their success. We're also going to talk about how social media has brought so much loneliness in people's life. Even though you have friends on your social media, you don't have friends in your life. What's going on with that? Also, we're going to go right to the governor of Mississippi who signed the biggest against abortion bill in America. This is exciting days. One more success secret from Jensen Franklin. We're going to talk about three keys to success that you need right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster. And of course, joining me is John Ramos.
Hello.
How are you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing good. Weren't we just here?
I think we were just here yesterday. We are so encouraged, always coming to be with you.
That's right.
You know, it's so important today with so much information coming at us. You have to pick your community. Who am I going to relate to? Where am I going to get my news from? Where am I going to get a right biblical perspective?
That's right.
And, you know, we have a program coming up, but you know, John and I had a chance to listen to Lance Wallnew and what he's talking about. You know that experiences just happen to all of us, but how we interpret those experiences changes our decisions, which changes our destiny. And we have to pick the source where we're going to hear it, because there's so many people out there right now that has taken experiences, and we're all having them. But what they're saying, what they believe about those experiences are just going into their children's minds, into maybe your mind. We got to say, I got to cut that off because I want to believe differently about my experiences and I want to make different decisions. Hence, then I want to be able to have a different harvest in my life. And there is a huge media horn that's doing that right now. But guess what? VFN KB and VFN TV, we're focusing on all seven of those mountains of culture. So connect. Be a part of the community. You can see some of the comments of those that join our community. We're so excited. We hear things like one of our part of our community. We heard you when you said we encouraged you, and you've been in your house for a long time, and you hadn't been socializing. And John, he said, you know what? He said, I heard you, and I'm going to go out and begin to build relationships. This is not healthy, staying just locked up in my home all the time. And even though he's suffering, you know, some illness in his body, he's going to go out and build new relationships. I want to encourage you. We love hearing about that, and we want to stick with you on that journey of building relationships.
Absolutely.
And we just speak healing over your body right now if that's holding you back, in Jesus' name. Well, John, talk to us about this VFN KB success secret.
Oh, my goodness. We have this success secret, VFN KB success secret, in fact, but you're going to be encouraged by it. These CEOs are going to share to you who has been their greatest influence in their life. Watch now.
Who has had the greatest influence on you and why?
Probably my parents, because they taught me that if you love something, you'll work hard at it, and the only way to be great at something is working hard at it.
My brother. He was mentally ill, and he taught me a lot about the reality and the richness of diversity.
Probably my mom and my dad. My dad, because he's a professor of physics, and so he's very analytical and good at approaching problems in a systematic way. And then my mom, because she's always up for fun and doing something a little crazy and a little bit untraditional, and so I think I have both sides to me.
Well, my dad, by far. He's given me some of the best business and career and professional advice, and he has always been my mentor, my hero, my friend.
Every time I was with my dad, even up to this day, he finds the person in the room who needs a kind word the most and makes sure he gives it.
My father, by all means, that taught me the value of hard work, the value of doing right for the first time.
This is so important. It's encouraging, John, isn't it, to see how many people really understood where they got their influence from and who influenced them?
Yes, it is. Listen, if you're a parent, we want to encourage you. Continue to speak into your children's lives, because I know sometimes it feels like they may not be getting it, but they are getting it. It was awesome to see these CEOs attribute, it was my dad, my mom, it's the things that we learned throughout life and them, you know, doing life together,
right,
that helped me be the success today.
Yeah, and I want to encourage you, you know, as we're educating, it's just an educational moment about, you know, what God says about fathers and mothers and children and training your children up in the way they should go. And when you think about this, you're hearing leaders say that my father or relative, you know, impacted me and trained me up and taught me things in my life, you know, to be able to be successful. I know with my father, you know, my father, that I was always in my father's business. You know, he was a multi-faceted businessman. And one of the businesses he was in was the assisted living facility business, where you're helping elderly and challenged folks to be able to have community. And I was involved in that at about 13, 14,
wow,
12, 14 years old, and loved it. It was like having a whole bunch of grandparents, you know, around there. It was just exciting to be able to see that. But what it taught me was, you know, how to buy groceries for a huge amount of people. You know, that's a big deal.
Oh yeah.
We had shopping buggies. You remember what those are?
I tried.
And we'd have four or five shopping buggies filled with food for the whole facility and the people, and helping people to walk and helping them in their day-to-day life. But it taught me business. I had to get a license by the state to be able to be where I was. My dad got sick there in a time we had to go to the hospital in a different state. And so it was just put in my hands at 14 during those days. You could do that. And the local administrator came in. They would help me out. What's going on? We had to pass inspections every 30 days. They'd come in and they'd check everything and make sure everything's up, and fire inspections and health inspections and food inspections and medicine inspections. And that's just one thing.
Yeah. You know,
we've done so many businesses together. We had a construction company together, and he's in politics. You know, he's a political leader for quite some time. And that's a big thing to learn.
So if you were to pick out one thing, what do you think maybe it's the most significant, you think?
I think his love for God through all of it.
That's,
you know,
awesome.
His love for God. I'll never forget when I was young, and that happened. I was young once. And so I remember walking through the kitchen, and he had written a tithe check to the church that we were going to at the time. And it was for, you know, $700.
Right.
And I just never thought about that as a young person. And I realized that he's been faithful his whole life, honoring God and
wow,
and that. And he even helped out at the church, you know, and helped. He was an assistant to the pastor. So I would say, you know, my father's had a huge influence on my life. And we've grown together and done some pretty awesome things together. So I want to encourage you, you know, all this information out there right now, like Google, you can search for information, or different search engines. The truth is, that's just information.
Yeah.
That's not revelation. It's not wisdom.
Wisdom.
Wisdom comes from somebody who actually walked it out.
Mm-hmm.
And people are trying to bypass having those relationships, because wisdom not only tells you, you know, that, you know, this is how you do it, they also tell you this is how you don't do it. You know, you hear both things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think of Dr. Bell, too, that I remember we're doing those prophetic events, you know, for the Malachi mandates. And something was happening that was kind of stopping this event. We had the whole city going that direction. And we were sitting in one of the county offices. And Dr. Rebell, he and I were sitting there together, and he touched me on my hand. He just patted me on the hand like this. He says, "I'll handle this," because I was too energetic. You know, it was political. We needed to work through some things. But just that moment, it was so important. I think about, Brother Ken Summerall, you know, spiritual father to me in the Lord, that all the wisdom that I got from him, and that he's still speaking into my life today. Or Pastor John Kilpatrick, he's a spiritual father to me now, and has been for years. And you're missing out. As a matter of fact, you need to have at least 5 to 6 different people speaking into your life.
Absolutely.
You know, 5 to 6 different people from different areas that are helping you grow, but also they're challenging you in your growth. So I want to encourage you right now. If you take a moment and just comment, you know, write to us, email us, or you can maybe comment below, and just, what are your thoughts about that? Who's influenced you? Who's been your influencer? Has your father influenced you? Your mother influenced you? Was it a relative, or maybe it was a minister, or maybe a fellow brother or sister in the Lord? We'd love to hear from you. Comment below, write to us, email us. John, what's next?
Listen, when we get back from this break, we're going to talk to you about social media and the effect that it's having on us. Maybe we're not so social. You'll find out more and get right back.
We'll be right back.
In 1997, Promise Keepers put 1 million men on the Mall to pray for America, an historic event in church history. And I begin to declare, the hearts of the fathers are turning to the children, and there's coming a corresponding movement of the young people turning to the fathers.
Well, listen, I want to tell you about this. You know, we are excited to tell you we have launched VFN TV's YouTube channel. We are out there. We had people request it. I'm very excited about it. You know, you can simply go to it by going to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube, or you can go to YouTube.com/VFNTV. But I wanted you to know that we are out there in YouTube. We have an audience now that stretches all around the world that's joined us in other ways as well. And we thank you for watching, and you can subscribe to us. As a matter of fact, you know, you can go there and check every from time to time about new, because almost every day new content's coming out there. But one way to make sure that you be notified that content is happening is you go there and you press the button subscribe. You can see that button here probably. Just press that button. It doesn't cost you nothing. It's just a thing that happens. And then you'll be notified every time new materials put up on the YouTube channel. That's right, VFN TV. We're now on YouTube. It's youtube.com/VFNTV, or just go to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome, welcome back. If you were with us a little bit earlier, I don't know where my energy is. I am
where
here.
Where is it? Are you here?
I am here.
Come on. Get it. Come on.
I had to come out of my head, you know. So we're excited. You know, thank you for letting us know.
He's here.
Exciting set. I was very excited about that.
I'm
you know,
glad. All right.
But I was having to think too at the same time while I was about it. Oh, well, you're thinking about this. Everybody has a phone now. I mean, you know, it seems
pretty
like
much.
It. And they have access to email and texting and all that.
Apps and social media and
yeah, actually anti social media really.
Yeah.
And they talk about how many friends they have. But they're sad.
Yeah.
I don't know why they're sad.
Why?
Maybe I think it's me.
Is it you?
It may be me. No, but really, that you're thinking they're just working so hard to connect to people they don't know and they don't care about. You know, they find out it's like, wow, I really don't have any friends. And as a matter of fact, this you know Prince, you know, is it Prince A or Prince A? He talks about in the spoken word. He's talking about it should be anti-social media because people really aren't talking. And every single time we gather in the VFN gathering of the church gatherings, we always bless everybody with actually authentic relationships. We talk about that you'll find, you know, you'll find realization in those.
And removing those things, if they be digital devices, that hinder actual love and interaction with human beings.
Yeah, and you know it. If you've sat at the table with your grandchildren and they're looking down at their phone, Facebooking or texting or something like that.
Texting, come on.
Yeah, I text. Anyway, so they're not even connecting to you.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I remember going to Don and I went to this particular all-you-can-eat buffet breakfast thing over in Alabama.
How was it?
Yeah, it was amazing. it was huge. It was ridiculously huge. But it was good. I forget the name of it, but it's down there. The Point, Grand Point Hilton, and it's the southern tip of Alabama. And it was just amazing. I looked at this one family, John. We're sitting there waiting to get into the restaurant, and the whole family was sitting there, father, mother, and two sons and daughter, and they were all looking down at their mobile devices. You know, I even took a picture. They didn't know I was taking a picture. I was like, that's exactly what's going on. And think about this. Think about this. More people, this company, there's only a handful of companies, they know more about your family than you do. Because everything you do, they're gathering all that data. As a matter of fact, let's go listen to Prince now as he's talking specifically about the spoken word. Listen up.
Did you know the average person spends 4 years of his life looking down at his cell phone? Kind of ironic, ain't it? How these touch screens can make us lose touch. But it's no wonder in a world filled with iMacs, iPads, and iPhones, so many eyes, so many selfies, not enough us's and we's, see? Technology has made us more selfish and separate than ever. Cause while it claims to connect us, connection has gotten no better. And let me express first, Mr. Zuckerberg, not to be rude, but you should reclassify Facebook to what it is, an anti-social network. Cause while we may have big friend lists, so many of us are friendless all alone. Cause friendships are more broken than the screens on our very phones. We sit at home on our computers measuring self-worth by numbers of followers and likes. Ignoring those who actually love us, it seems we'd rather write an angry post and talk to someone who might actually hug us. Am I bugging? You tell me, cause I asked a friend the other day, let's meet up face to face. They said, all right, what time you wanna Skype? I responded with OMG, SRS, and then a bunch of SMHs and realized, what about me? Do I not have the patience to have conversation without abbreviation? This is the generation of media overstimulation. Chats have been reduced to snaps. The news is 140 characters. Videos are 6 seconds at high speed. And you wonder why ADD is on the rise faster than 4G LTE. But get a load of this. Studies show the attention span of the average adult today is 1 second lower than that of a goldfish. So if you're one of the few people or aquatic animals that have yet to click off or close this video, congratulations. Let me finish by saying you do have a choice, yes. But this one, my friends, we cannot autocorrect. We must do it ourselves. Take control or be controlled. Make a decision. Me? No longer do I want to spoil a precious moment by recording it with a phone. I'm just going to keep them. I don't want to take a picture of all my meals anymore. I'm just going to eat them. I don't want the new app, the new software, or the new update. And if I want to post an old photo, who says I have to wait until Thursday? I'm so tired of performing in the pageantry of vanity and conforming to this accepted form of digital insanity. Call me crazy, but I imagine a world where we smile when we have low batteries. Cause that'll mean we'll be one bar closer to humanity.
That's so powerful, but yet so true.
Very, very true.
And you know what? You know, there was a day that you know people who were you know busybody and nosy, they would have to go down the street to find out what's going on.
You would say, "Leave now."
Yeah, and that person would be, but they would be depressed because they're looking at the Smiths and the Joneses
yeah.
and you know the people up the street. And they would compare what they had to somebody else. But now with social media, people share what they just ate. They share where they are. You know, they share
what they're doing.
And the truth is, you know, people are creating this unrealistic. Nobody's sharing their real stuff.
Right. It's always the happy things that they share.
Right.
Why is that?
Right.
Like, I don't see any sad pictures.
Right.
You know?
And people are thinking that's actually how somebody's life is at.
24/7.
24/7. Of course, they did a study right here about people.
Yes.
Because of social media, they're feeling lonely. What did they write?
Well, here's the title of the article. Feeling lonely? Question mark. Too much time on social media may be why. For young adults, social media may not be so social after all. Mm. Among people in that group, heavy use of platforms such as Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram was associated with feelings of social isolation, the study finds. Mm-hmm. The results surprised the study co-author, Brian Primack. It's social media, so aren't people going to be socially connected, he says? He's the director of the Center for Research on Media Technology and Health at the University of Pittsburgh. And while his team's previous research connecting social media use and depression in young adults wasn't terribly surprising, these new results seemed counterintuitive. While face-to-face social connectedness is strongly associated with well-being, it's not clear what happens when those interactions happen virtually.
Right.
They need to happen face-to-face,
right.
not over a screen, right?
Right.
To investigate, Primack and his colleagues surveyed 1,787 U.S. adults ages 19 to 32 and asked them about their usage of 11 social media platforms outside of work.
Mm-hmm.
The survey also gauged social isolation by asking participants questions such as how often they felt left out. As will happen in this type of survey, people may have lowballed their estimates of media use, but it turns out that the people who reported spending the most time on social media, more than 2 hours a day, had twice the odds of perceived social isolation.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you're looking at, you know, what happens is when you're comparing your life to someone else's life, you know, you're going to, you know, especially a perceived, but they put a lot of effort into putting glamour shots together to make it look good. They didn't take a picture of them eating at McDonald's. They took a picture of them eating at a nice restaurant that one time in 6 months, right?
No pictures when they woke up either.
And that's what but that's the isolation comes. You think you're actually having a relationship and you're not.
Yeah.
You know, you're thinking you're with people and you're not. And the things that you're sharing, you probably shouldn't. because you only should share those things with people that you know and you have a relationship
Correct.
With. But there's a Corinthians. Paul wrote the letter to Corinthians. What did he say about
2 Corinthians 10:12. Yeah. We do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and by themselves compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise.
Right. It's a very unwise thing to do when you're starting to just do that. And I mean, it's built off the whole concept of you know, share your life and then let everybody see it. And
is it possible to overshare?
Yes. It's very possible. But the thing about it is, people are trying to get more people to like them.
And affirm them.
And so they created a logarithm and a computer program, and they said, what do we call this button? Mm-hmm. Let's call this button friend. That's all it is. It's just a little click. It's not necessarily a friend. You know, a friend is someone who sticks closer than a brother. A friend mm-hmm. is someone that, you know, Ecclesiastes talks about that will go through things with you.
Yeah.
And that, you know, a cord of three strands is not easily broken. And there's nothing more exciting than solid friendship. I mean, even God calls, he wants to be our friend.
Right.
In the context of us walking together. And Jesus called the disciples his friend because they walked together through things. And it's, you know, most people probably have about one or two, you know, those kind of intimate
close
type relationships.
Friends.
If you have more than that, you're blessed. But if you don't have any, it could be because you're trying to have 100 instead of have one.
Yeah. I just heard someone say that one of the biggest miracles that Jesus had was that he had 12 friends.
Yeah.
12 friends.
Yeah, 11.
Yeah, but 11.
Judas just said he was.
He just said he was.
He just liked him on Facebook, but he wasn't his friend. Listen, we're going to a break right here, but I want to hear from you. We want to hear your thoughts on this. Have you got yourself caught up into just locking yourself up in your home and your room and separating yourself from life, and you're craving that authentic relationship with another human being, and virtualness is not doing it? Listen, God's designed you to relate to other humans in that kind of atmosphere. Comment below, write to us, email us. We want to hear from you. John?
When we get back from this break, you're going to hear about this historic bill that was just passed by the Mississippi governor that puts the toughest restrictions on abortions in the entire country. Join us when we get right back from this break.
We'll be right back.
Let's talk today about how to discipline a one-year-old child who may begin to test the limits of authority at that age. My own daughter, for example, challenged her mother for the first time when she was just 9 months old. My wife was waxing the kitchen floor when Danae crawled to the edge of the linoleum. Shirley said, "No, Danae," gesturing to the child not to enter the kitchen. Since our daughter began talking very early, she clearly understood the meaning of the word no. Nevertheless, she crawled straight onto the sticky wax. Well, Shirley picked her up and set her down in the hallway, saying no more strongly as she put her down. 7 times this process was repeated until Danae finally yielded and crawled away in tears. That was my daughter's first little confrontation with her mother. There were many more to follow, I assure you of that. Now, how does a parent discipline a one-year-old? Very carefully and gently. A child at this age is easy to distract and divert. Rather than jerking a wristwatch from his or her hands, dangle a brightly colored alternative, and then be prepared to catch the watch when it falls. When unavoidable confrontations do occur, as with Danae, win them by firm persistence, but not by punishment. Compared to the months that are to follow, the period around 1 year of age is usually a tranquil and fun time in a child's life. Enjoy it to the fullest.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. This is so exciting. We've been praying. You've heard our program for years now. You know, we've declared and decreed, you know, dear God, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening. Well, the Mississippi governor just signed the strictest anti-abortion bill in the history of America. And it says you cannot abort up to 15 weeks.
15 weeks.
You cannot abort that child. And as he's signing it, he's actually saying, the lawsuits are coming in 5 seconds or something like that. And he said, bring it on, right?
Yeah, it's okay. This is a fight worth fighting for.
Right. And this governor's name is?
Phil Bryant.
Phil Bryant. Let's go there signing the bill now.
You know, I love when Mississippi leads a nation saving the unborn, protecting religious freedoms.
And they always go around and go, yeah, but y'all are last liking eating enough apples or something. We are saving more of the unborn than any state in America, and what better thing we could do. So, and we'll probably be sued here in about a half hour. That'll be fine with me. It's worth fighting over. Thank you for what y'all have done.
This is so powerful. You know, you've heard us. We've been decreeing and declaring it that you know, the governor, he wants to be in Mississippi.
Yes.
He wants to be the leader, the most safest place. What's the statement? The safest place for children in America.
Of the unborn.
Of the unborn. God's going to bless Mississippi.
Yes, he is.
God's going to bless Mississippi. You know, one of the things that has to happen, you know, as a nation, we're going to have to repent for the shedding of innocent blood, the murder of children. Over 70 million potentially since Roe versus Wade, and things are cranking up. But remember, that happened exactly when God was raising up Moses. They started aborting children when Moses, a deliverer, was coming up. And the adversary knows that something's happening in this generation and is trying to snuff out this generation. But good news is they couldn't take Moses out. They ended up raising the very one. I mean, the very ones that was trying to take out Moses were the very ones that raised Moses in their own household. So God's got this, but we have to repent for that. And what's happening with Mississippi, you need to let that governor know, stand with them, and he knows they're going to begin to sue, because suing is a way that you can, you know, challenge things, change that type of thing. But they lose that suit. And also I want to encourage you about Jay Sekulow, you know, American, I won't get the wrong, ACLJ. That, you know, support with them, because they'll stand up for these type of cases and defend the child that cannot speak in the womb. So we are close.
It's beautiful to see individual states stand for life and not wait for a federal government to make that decision. So every state can make that decision.
And that's actually, I believe, what President Trump was talking about. It says each state should make that decision. And now Mississippi is leading the way. So we just want to be able to pray for that governor, pray for you, and be excited, because this means, you know, great awakening. Hmm. This means, you know, breakthrough and revival. It's just exciting days. I want to pray for you right now. Father God, we just thank you for our community. We thank you for our audience, Lord, our tribe. God, we just bless them. God, we thank you for this governor who stood up and said, I stand up for life, and I'd rather be found fighting for life. Lord, bless Mississippi, God. Creative ideas and concepts. Bless our community with healing. Father God, we pray for freedom, the social media bondage, or they might be attached to it and can't get free from it. We just speak freedom and authentic relationships over you in Jesus' name. We just bless your marriage. We bless your family time. We're going to eat around the table again. You're going to talk to each other again. You're going to have, you know, your intimacy in your family again. We just bless you with that. And dear God, end abortion, send revival, send a third grade awakening. We decree now that abortion has ended and third grade awakening is here and revival is here in Jesus' name. God bless.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
John. Do you know the VFN TV app is out, right? I think it's 4.0, man.
4.0.
That is so cool. And they're doing a wonderful job at designing it and putting it together. And everything that we're saying and doing is available now on the VFN TV app. All you got to do is go to your app store, type in VVictor, VFN TV, and it just shows up. Or you can go to VFNTV.com and click on the appropriate store, whichever one you actually have your phone with. But it's so important. You can listen to highlights. You can listen to the programs. You can listen to us live. We're live 24/7, 7 days a week. And some encouraging words, any prophetic words that are coming out. You know, God's news behind the news. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. Listen, get the app. It's totally free, by the way. Go to your app store and find it today. Just type in VFN TV. It'll pop up, download it for free, or go to VFNTV.com.